in class and the successful completion of a historical final year at GNA.
Padre, hoy nosotros oramos por toda la facultad, administración y todo personal que contribuyeron con el crecimiento de los graduantes y la combinación exitosa del último año histórico en la John Nevis Andrews.
Father, bless and protect the graduates, their families, friends, and teachers. May their efforts be directed to your glory and to demonstrate with their actions your loving character.
Padre, bendice y protege a los graduantes, a sus familias, amigos y maestros, que sus esfuerzos sean para tu gloria y demuestren con sus y que puedan demostrar con sus acciones tu carácter de amor.
Finally, as the graduate commence a new facet in their lives, may they grow ever more grateful and wise with the pouring of the Holy Spirit.
En combinación, a medida que los graduados comienzan una nueva etapa en sus vidas, pedimos que crezcan con mucha gratitud y sabiduría con la bendición del Espíritu Santo.
All of this we ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Todo esto lo pedimos en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
May you please stand for the reading of the scripture. Our scripture's reading is taken from 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 8. Our reading you're hearing from the New International Version. Now the Philistine gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soku and Judah. They pitched campus at Ephes Damim between Soku and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistine occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels on his legs. He wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the rank of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not the Philistine, and are you not the servant of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. May the Lord add a rich blessing to the hearing and reading of his word."
La lectura bíblica se encuentra en 1 Samuel 17, 1 hasta el 8. Los filisteos juntaron sus ejércitos para la guerra y se congregaron en Soco, que es de Judá, y acamparon entre Soco y Azeca en Ephes Damim. También Saúl y los hombres de Israel se juntaron y acamparon en la valle de Ela y se pusieron en orden de batalla contra los filisteos. Y los filisteos sobre un monte a un lado e Israel sobre otro monte al otro lado y el valle entre ellos. Salió entonces del campamento de los filisteos un paladín, el cual se llamaba Goliat de Gat y tenía de altura 6 codos y un palmo. Y traía un casco de bronce en su cabeza y llevaba una cota de malla y era del peso de la cota 5,000 siclos de bronce. Sobre sus piernas traía grebas de bronce y jabalina de bronce entre sus hombros. El asta de su lanza era como un rodillo de telar y tenía el hierro de su lanza 600 siclos de hierro. E iba su escudero delante de él. Y se paró y dio voces a los escuadrones de Israel, diciéndoles, ¿para qué os habéis puesto en orden de batalla? ¿No soy yo el filisteo y vosotros los siervos de Saúl? Escoge de entre vosotros un hombre que venga contra mí. Amén.
Good morning, everybody. All right. Energetic, dynamic, passionate, and fun-loving are only a few words to describe Pastor Patrick G. Graham. Pastor Graham attended Hanson Place SDA Elementary in Brooklyn, New York, and Greater New York Academy in Woodside, Queens, New York. He later went on to attend Oakwood University, where he graduated a bachelor's degree in theology, and moved on to Andrews University, where he obtained his master's in youth ministry. He was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and shared his life with his former Natalie Bernard, also from Brooklyn, New York. Together, they have 3 children, Jordan, Joseph, and Jasmine. In April 2001, Pastor Graham began his personal pastoral ministry as the assistant pastor of the DuPont Park Seventh-day Adventist Church in Washington, D.C. In 2004, he became the senior pastor of Emmanuel Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church in Alexandria, Virginia, and the Columbia Community Seventh-day Adventist Church in Columbia, Maryland. In 2009, he became the senior pastor of Sharon Seventh-day Adventist Church in Baltimore, Maryland. Pastor Patrick Graham presently serves the Allegheny East Conference as the Youth and Children's Ministry Director, a position held since October 2012. During this time, he has shown great love and skill in serving and serving training, developing leadership skills to adults and youth in the conference. Pastor Graham was recently elected in October 2016 as the Black Adventist Youth Director Association President, an additional responsibility that welcomes as he continues his ministry for the youth. For several years during Allegheny East Conference camp meeting, he led poetry and music showcases for young people called Praise Cafe and served as the pastoral liaison for the junior teen tent. Pastor Graham enjoys producing music, photography, great conversation, a great debate, metal detecting, home improvement, and thrifting. As Pastor Graham continues serving in the Allegheny East Conference Youth and Children's Ministry Department, his desire is to help all young people realize it is easier to be saved than lost.
Feliz sábado. Lleno de energía, dinámico, apasionado, divertido y cariñoso, son solo algunas de las palabras que describen el pastor Patrick G. Graham. El pastor Graham asistió a la escuela elemental adventista Hanson Place en Brooklyn, Nueva York, y a la academia de la conferencia de Gran Nueva York en Woodside, Queens, Nueva York. Más tarde asistió a la Universidad Oakwood, donde se graduó de teología. Posteriormente se trasladó a la Universidad de Andrews, donde obtuvo su maestría en ministerio juveniles. Nacido y criado en Brooklyn, Nueva York, comparte su vida con su esposa Natalia Bernard, que también viene de Brooklyn, Nueva York. Juntos tiene tres hijos, Jordan, Joseph y Jasmine. En abril de 2001, Pastor Graham comenzó su ministerio pastoral como pastor asistente en la Iglesia Adventista de DuPont Park en Washington, D.C. En el 2004, se convirtió en el senior pastor de la Iglesia Adventista Templo Emanuel en Alexandria, Virginia, y a la Iglesia Adventista de la Comunidad en Columbia, Maryland. En el 2009, se convirtió en el senior pastor de la Iglesia Adventista Sharon en Baltimore, Maryland. Desde el 2012 hasta el presente, Pastor Patrick Graham sirvió como director del Ministerio Infantiles y Juveniles de la Conferencia de Allegheny East. Durante este tiempo, ha mostrado gran amor, capacidad a servir, entrenar, desarrollar las cualidades del liderazgo de los jóvenes y adultos de su conferencia. En octubre del 2017, el pastor Graham fue electo como presidente de la Asociación de Directores de Jóvenes Adventistas Afroamericanos, una responsabilidad adicional que gratamente aceptó mientras continuó su ministerio con los jóvenes. Para varios años durante las campestres de la Conferencia de Allegheny East, lideró programas de música, poesía para gentes jóvenes de Náminos, café de alabanza, y sirvió como coordinador pastoral de la carpa de los adolescentes. Pastor Graham disfrutó la música, la fotografía, las buenas conversaciones, los grandes debates testamentales, a orar y reparar su casa. Mientras el pastor Graham continuó sirviendo como líder del departamento del Ministerio de Jóvenes y Juveniles, su deseo es ayudar a las gentes jóvenes a descubrir que es más fácil ser salvado que perderse.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I think the choir did a great number. What do you say, saints? Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. It's 12:08. I don't think ever in 17 years that I've ever gotten up to preach at 12:08. My wife told me that to adhere to the time zone, and so it's going to be kind of difficult because I normally preach for an hour. I heard somebody say amen. I don't know if the amen was to cut it short or the amen was to go for a whole hour, but I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for the opportunity. Graduate class, you look great. Aren't you glad you're graduating? Not really. You're not glad. And it has to be my niece to say it out loud. Class, are you glad to graduate? Are you happy? You don't have to deal with Miss A. Only got two more days. Don't be afraid. There's nothing she could do to you right now. Nothing. And I want to thank the principal. Principal They said to say meow at the end like a cat. So that's a meow. Thank you for the awesome experience. I it's amazing to be able to speak here. I'm it feels like a cheap date because you knew I had to be here anyway because my daughter is here. So you got the price of nothing for me to be here. But my daughter, you are my daughter. If you're going to keep talking while I'm speaking, we're going to spank you today. I did say my daughter, but my niece. It's awesome. It's awesome to have the experience of being here. Awesome to talk to the graduates, and that's exactly who I'm going to speak to today. I want to talk to our graduates. They have two more days to go, but I have to agree with our pastor when he said you have 8 more years to go. 8 more years because 4 is going to go by as quickly as your 8 just went by. Parents, we have to be aware. There are some things that I'm going to say that you might disagree with me. If it's a theological disagreement or an Adventist disagreement, you can meet me in the back after. If it's something that you just can't break, you can meet me out by my car. You'll get that later. But I want you to know that I do have a great... Christian education means everything to me. Yeah, I only heard 2 people, but I'm going to say it again. Christian education means absolutely everything to me. And when I became the youth director of the Allegheny East Conference, along with children's ministry, I found out that there's nothing that I can do, absolutely nothing that I can do for the youth. You know what I'm talking about, youth pastor, unless we deal with the children first. So, yes, I'm on my high horse right now to let you know that I do have a belief system for our Adventist schools. I believe that the worst of our Adventist schools, yeah, I'm going to say it, that one, you meet me at the car. It's better than the best of our public school system. I'm going to stand on that. The next one could be controversial. I believe that our children should go to have Christian education tuition free. I don't know how yet, but we're going to find a way. We're going to find a way. Has to be. If we go back to the way Sister White says we should do it, we ought to get it to the place where we have students who are learning in the triangle, which is, come on, home, school, and church. I make no apologies for it. We could talk about it after. I've been in public school before, and changing over, listen to me, young people, changing over to the Advent system was great for me, but it was different than your time. My teachers was allowed to beat us. Now, y'all said, no, Pastor, don't use the word beat. It's spank. It's punish. No, it's beat. For what our teachers did to us, we could call the police. And there we show up, some people clapping. I'm going to say what I got to say. We had them Caribbean... them Trinidadian Jamaican teachers who would beat you and you couldn't tell your parents that you got beat because they will beat you. So you get it twice and then send you back to school to tell you don't go back with a bad face. So you got to go smile at the teacher for beating you. Makes no sense. So you guys are blessed. Father, I ask you to stay with us just a little while longer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Come on, let the church say amen. Amen. Amen, amen. The title of the sermonette, if you will, today. No, it's going to be the sermon, because I understand that sermonettes make Christianettes. My wife is looking at me like, no, you're going to hurry this thing up. The Philistines all gathered together, and they were in a place where they were at Succoth on one side and Judah on the other side, and you had the Philistines all ready for battle on one side. On the other side, you had the children of Israel. They were ready for battle. We all know this story. We know this story. We've said it over and over again. You've learned it. We've talked about it. We've been in Sabbath school over it. You guys remember when we used to go to Sabbath school at 9:15? You remember? It's quiet in the house. Do you remember? Yeah, I don't think we do that anymore. But 9:15, we used to be at church at 9:15. And if it was like for my parents, we would be there before. Like we were there before the deacon got there. Mercy. And our teachers sat down. We have Sabbath school teachers who can spank you too, by the way. I don't know why any of us grew up the way we grew up. Every time we turned around, it was all week, and the same people who taught you went to your church. I thank God that they can't beat us anymore. So I want you to understand how this whole thing came together. When we were in Sabbath school, we didn't have what you guys have now, PowerPoint. No, we didn't have that. We had what we call felt boards. Yeah? Yeah. That was our PowerPoint. And the Sabbath school teacher used to flip it. And when they were telling you a story of David and Goliath, look at all of our old heads. Everybody here was 45 and above is like smiling. Yeah, we remember that. They used to say to us, now we're gonna tell you the story about David and Goliath. And Goliath was just this big, and then they will hand us this thing, and they'll say, go ahead, you take it and post it. And you'll come up, you remember? And you put it on. And that was Goliath, right? Come on, that was Goliath, right? And then the teacher would teach us some more, and the teacher would come over to us and say, now this is David. Go in and paste David on. You get to take David, and you put David on, and David, and you put David to the side, and you just... I want you to understand something, that what our teachers taught us, our Sabbath school teachers taught us, was wrong. We automatically grew up with understanding that Goliath is more powerful than David. When we stuck it up there, it stayed in our minds, especially for guys. Boys, the problem with us as boys that growing to men, we have like a memory. We see things in pictures. That's why girls are smarter than boys until a certain level. Don't worry about it. By and by, you'll understand. Yeah, not right now, but you'll understand. And when they put this thing up, we look at Goliath as being somebody so great. Listen to me, graduates, so great. And we look at David as being this puny guy over there. And we learn through this thing. Even on Sunday mornings, we used to watch David and Goliath. Anybody remember David and Goliath, Claymation? Okay, you're 50 and above then. Oh, yeah, David, it was a little Gumby type thing. It was David and Goliath. You know, Davy. You know, you just sing. All right, okay, so those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I know you don't have a clue of what I'm talking about, because claymation to you is like way back in the day. But we used to watch David and Goliath. Now, the reason why I want you to understand this thing is because you all already know the story of David and Goliath, but the Sabbath school teachers taught us wrong, because we grew up thinking that anything big was a Goliath and anything small is David. Now, I want you to understand where I'm going through with this, because everything that you went through just now over the past 8 years of your life is going to change by the fall. My daughter introduced me to a series on Netflix called 13 Reasons Why. Saints, y'all could talk for a second. I'm talking to your parents. Bother your kid every single day. It's your job. Do what I did. I checked their pockets. I check their phones. I see, you know why you're quiet, parents? Because we gave our kids too many rights. You need to check their phones. You need to know what their passwords are. If you don't know their passwords, I'm wondering who are the parents. You need to go back to the history on, I know you're mad at me, but I'm going to say it. Go back to the history on the internet. Look at what they've been looking at. Put on another server in the house so you could see what they're looking at. Let them get mad at you all they want. Pick up their phone in the middle of the night. Check their pockets before you clean it. Look for the drugs. Look for the alcohol. Look for everything that you can. Lift up their mattress and look in between. Somebody said, stop right there. Stop right there. Huh? Oh, no, there's a whole lot going on. Go check their jackets that they hung up at the back. Look on the top of their closet. Check what they're doing because you're the parent. I know what I'm talking about. I've been through it. I had high schoolers. And guess what? They're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes along the way. But guess what? It's better for you to catch it than for the police to catch it. Oh, no, I mean that. You know, when you go through this thing, you start thinking about all the mistakes you made. Come on, parents, we make mistakes. And now you look back at that, none of my children are teenagers anymore, and you look back at their life and you say, wow, I remember when they were at J&A. And you know what the truth is? I'm going to tell you what the truth is. The truth is that you all who work at J&A, I'm sorry, the missionaries that's at J&A, I'm sorry, the underpaid people who are at J&A, the ones who we don't think about at J&A, they were the parents to my children longer in a 9-month period than I was. And sometimes these teachers got on our last nerve when our children got on their last nerve. Our kids don't need medication. The teachers need medication. Listen, I want you to be able to get this thing. Because when you look at great big corporations, we call them Goliaths. When we look at small corporations, we call them Davids. And I want you to know why the mistake was made that way. Now we're going to get off there. We're going to go through one more point and we're going to come right around again. Now we have David. He's the youngest out of all of his brothers. You're going to feel like David compared to his brothers when you first walk into high school, when you first walk into academy and everybody is bigger than you. You're going to think to yourself, man, I know TA. I've been there before. I know these schools. I've been there before. But it's going to look so big to you. The seniors are going to look real big, and you're going to look real small. But the key to this whole thing is that you always got to walk with confidence. Eighth grade, I don't care how you look at it. You're not eighth graders anymore. When you walk in ninth grade, you should already see yourself in 12th grade. Y'all not hearing me. I wanted to know who the pastor of the class was. Who's the pastor of the class? You don't have a pastor? Who's the preacher in your class? Oh, you're the preacher? He said, I guess so, yes. Do you know how I knew that I was going to be a preacher? Because everybody just said so. No, God didn't hit me with lightning in the middle of the night or I woke up in a dream and said I was going to be a preacher. Everybody just said I was going to be a preacher. So you're going to be a preacher. And guess what? In spite of what everybody says, we do get paid. Listen, I'm tired of people getting up. Pastors don't get paid. Pastors get up. Oh, I don't get paid. I get paid. My wife drives a BMW. No, I don't put down my profession. My profession is all that and then some. And I set my own hours. So what's ended up happening now? Come on, I got to go with this quick. So what's happening now is that David has to stay home. David has to stay home because he's the weakling. It's not the strong guy. He's a small guy. But then here you have his rest of his brothers. They're out for war. Where are they? Come on. Graduates, where are they? They're out for war, right? Remember, because one is on the one side, one is on the other side, and they both have to come together, and they want to fight. Because the thing is, if you want to save your men, you could do a dual battle. One person can battle, and another person could battle, and you could say whoever wins in that battle, they won the war. So, of course, the Philistines sent out Goliath, and nobody else wanted to fight him. Come on, are you understanding what's going on? You don't want to lose everything at one time, so they wanted to have that one battle. Come on, stay with me on this. So what ends up happening is that David comes out, and David is home. What David is doing at home, David is a shepherd boy. Come on, he's taking care of sheep. Now, let me tell you something. I went to Jamaica. And we were moving a pig from one end to the other. They put a pig in what you call a crocus bag. Somebody help me. What kind of bag is that? It's like little holes in it. They can't see through it. So they took the pig from one end, brought it down to the end of the block. I asked them, I was 9 years old, why is it that you move that pig in a bag from here to here? They said, because if we had walked the pig from here to here, the pig will know how to turn around and go back. Are you hearing me? Now, here's so funny is that sheep, you could feed sheep right here. Right here. Take the sheep right here. The sheep will be hungry and don't know how to come right back here to eat. Sheep is dumb. Wait a minute, you're laughing. The Bible says, all we like sheep, have gone astray. Am I right? Come on, right? You know why? Because let me tell you why. The things that you should be learning in the 4 or 5 years that you've been at JNA or how long you've been there, those are the things you need to keep. Because it's going to make a difference later on. You might say, I'll never want to go back and see any of my teachers again. Well, they're not going to be there, but you know what I mean. But on the flip side of it, the truth is that you're going to want to go back to them again. Hold on. Let me get to something. David is out. He's watching his sheep. Father says, I'm giving you the responsibility of taking care of these sheep. I have 100 of them here. His responsibility is that at the end of the night, he has to come back with 100. Are you together? Are we together? He has to come back with how many? 100. Got to come back with 100. And now he's there with 100 sheep. He sits back and he says to himself, I have nothing to do because all I'm doing all day is counting. 98, 99, 100. Nothing else to do. David is a great musician, Pastor Anwar. So he, you know, what he has to do, he has to play for Saul because Saul has demons. That's another sermon. You heard what I just said? He had to play music for Saul because Saul has demons. Do you know that demons flee? Come on. That's another sermon. I want you to understand that even though I love all kinds of music, Satan makes certain kinds of music. I know. I saw a couple of them just went like this. Do you know he used to run the choir? That was him. God put inside him pipes. So he makes the songs that make the young girls cry. Y'all still not with me, right? Then, listen. And those of you who are laughing, that means y'all know the song. Ah, gotcha. All right. So no, listen. Let's go back to this and listen up to this pastor. And then when he got thrown out of the kingdom, God did not take any of his powers from him. Come on, stay with me. I just want to stick that so that sometimes when you study, don't study with Drake and all of them. I don't like Drake. I don't even understand Drake. Don't take this off of my time. Listen, I have no clue of how you can even dance to Drake. It doesn't even make sense. The beat is not even a syncopated beat where you could dance to. At least our music had... At least you could move. This one here, I have no... It's like you took all these pans and you just threw them somewhere and make all these sounds and everybody's like, whoa! It makes absolutely no sense to me. And my daughter comes up to me and tells me, Dad, the problem is that you just don't understand it. Try to listen to the words. I said, they have words? No, I just can't believe it. And then even gospel has gone crazy, you know? No, back in the day, it was like, this too shall pass. They were like, this too. You know? Now we got gospel. You know, who are they talking about? God? Wait a minute, I'm not even sure. Can I give this to my wife? Maybe she'll like that. You know, hey, all they don't say is baby and all that kind of stuff. This is God we're talking to? Listen, let's get back. Here we have Goliath. Goliath turns around and Goliath is like, I need somebody to battle me because I'm strong like that. The brothers are out there and the brothers are afraid. Do not be afraid. Even when you can't tackle it, don't be afraid. Look at it and say, listen, I'm going over this another time. One of the things that I wish I knew at your age was to keep practicing. Keep practicing. Keep practicing. Keep practicing until you get it. Listen, I was a great musician when I was 12 years old. And because nobody else was doing it, I said, I'm not getting on the piano because this is not popular. I went to Oakwood. Everybody and their mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, brother, father, sister played. Now I wanted to play, but I got too busy. Now I'm close to 50 years old and I want to practice. If I had I'm 47, 48, 49. Now you're acting like your daughter and you're corrupting me while I'm trying to preach. So what I'm saying now, and I think we had a conversation some time ago, I said, listen, I want to play the piano again. Guess what? My brain is fried. What you could do now at practicing on a half an hour, you want to hear this? This is really true. I have to sit down for 3 hours. This is true. I have to now sit down for 3 hours. My fingers can't even move as quick as they move. And guess what I use now? I use the computer to help me. Yeah, they won't understand that. Listen, this is going to be the most boring part of the sermon. You can go to sleep at this one. This is about for about a couple minutes. So David, he's there, and he's sitting down, and he's passing back and forth through the palace. And when he looks at the palace, he sees just like this a desk. He sees the horseman, he sees the footman, and he sees the slinger. One more time, he sees the horseman, he sees the footman, he sees the slinger. Come on with me. He sees the horseman, he sees the footman, and he sees the slinger. He says, I don't want to be a horseman, and I don't want to be a footman. I want to be a slinger. Let me tell you something. Even if you want to be a garbage man, be the best garbage man you could be. Oh, some of y'all are mad that I said that. That's a great career. And they retire early. They're like, what, pastor? What? Your parents mad at me right now, but don't worry about it. Listen to what I'm saying. He goes in now, and just because he wants to be a slinger at 15, 16 years old, he's going to practice. He's going to do what, everybody? Come on, stay with me. He's going to do what, everybody? He's going to practice. Practice is very important. Even math. Math, you don't really memorize math. You practice math till it becomes a part of you. So David is walking around, and I think we have a big problem with this. Because we see slingshots as... That's not a slingshot. That's a birdie thing that you make out of rubber bands and whatever. Slingshots are as long as to your feet. You put a stone in it, and you twirl it, and you twirl it, and you twirl it, and you twirl it, and at a moment, you pop it. It is so loud, it can be deafening. So slingers actually put something in their ear because when it gets off, it is so loud that it can deafen you. Are we still together? Come on, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me now. This is the important part of it. So David is now with his sheep, and he's now practicing because now that he's counted 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, he's bored. He has to do something. No, he's not going to sit around and get out a video game. He's not going to do that because the video game people already made their money. Let me say it one more time. They already made their money while we sitting up here wasting time. Come on. So David is out there, and while David is sitting there, has nothing to do, he sets up Worthington cans. Are you with me? Right? He sets up 10 Worthington cans, and he sets it up about 100 yards away. How far? How far? 100 yards. And he's sitting there, and he's starting. He hits one, pow. He hits the other one, pow. He hits the other one, pow. He hits the other one, pow. He gets down to the fifth one. He missed the fifth one. What do you think he does? He goes back, and he sets it all up again. Are you still with me? He's only got time on his hands. He sits around, and he goes, he says, listen, forget about the basketball court right now because they're doing their thing over here. My dad says I got to come back with 100. He sits there, and he says, well, let me go ahead and do it again. Starts 1, 2, 3, 4. He gets to the ninth one, and he misses the ninth one. Guess what? He sets it all back up again. He ain't got nothing but time. He has to practice. He got to do what, everybody? Come on, he has to do what, everybody? Practice. Then he sets it up again, 100 yards away, and he keeps it there. And he hits the first one, second one. He gets to the eighth one, gets to the ninth one, gets to the tenth one. He's happy about hitting the tenth one. He's not relaxed. Don't be relaxed at getting a B+. If you can make an A and you make a B+, you have sinned. So he doesn't sit there. It's 100 yards away. So what he does now, he puts it out 200 yards away. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And while he sits there, remember, he, in between, he's got to count again. 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100. He's bored. He sits back. He does the same thing all over again. Hits the first one. Hits the second one. Hits the third one. Hits the fourth one. Hits the fifth one. Hits the sixth one. Hits the seventh one. Hits the eighth one. Hits the ninth one. Misses the tenth one. What does he do? Sets it all back up again at 200 yards again. Didn't I tell you this was going to be boring? Because let me tell you something. I have a friend. His name is Oliver Gittins. We used to go to this place in Queens called 111 because they had rims that were like 9.5. They weren't the tall ones. Now we have to study while my brother and what's his name and Oliver could take a picture of the book in their heads. Y'all didn't hear me. You're gonna have some friends that'll waste your time, including my brother. They could open up the book. This is true. Listen to me. There are people in here that can do this. They can open up the book, and they can take a picture of the page. They take a picture of the page, take a picture of the page, take a picture of the page, while some of us got to study and burn the midnight oil. When it's time to practice, you have nothing else to do but to sit there and practice 200 yards away. I'm coming to a close. And when he got to 200 yards away and hit the 10th one, guess what he did? He pushed it out 300 yards. You see, history tells me that a true slinger can hit their target at a hair's breadth at 400 yards away. That is our modern day sniper. 400 yards. Think about 400 yards, graduate. That's 4 football fields with a slingshot. Come on, come on, listen. We're talking Bible now. So then, I know you're hungry right now. I'm sorry to say this. David's father calls him out, and David's father said, hey, listen, go get your brother some bun and cheese. I don't know what that ephah is, but it sounds like bread, and he did say cheese, right? For all you vegans out there, I don't know what happened, but he said, send him out there to go get, to bring bun and cheese. He says, I'm going out there. When he gets out there, he hears this giant talking about God like a dog. When you get in the TA, there's going to be some people who are going to be cussing. No, I mean bad words. Some of you may go to other schools. You're going to see people talking about this, that. I was next to somebody on the plane coming back from Seattle, and they were doing the tarot cards. Come on, Adventists, don't mess with that stuff. Don't mess with that. All this devil stuff that's going around, all this black magic that's going around that you don't know anything about. Listen to me, graduates. Y'all can stay quiet. All that black nail polish that's going around. Y'all not hearing me? All that dark makeup and all that black stuff that's going on that they're putting on and all that kind of stuff, those are paying homage to Satan. Now, let me tell you something. My brothers and I used to fight in school. And we used to fight. And what we had to do, we couldn't hit the person first or we'll be in trouble. So we were listening for a key word, your mama. For some reason, we couldn't get away with any fights except to say, but mom, they were talking about you. That kind of softened mom a little bit, like, yo, did you punch him in the eye? Did you get him? Did you get him? No, here's what I'm saying. When David, who knew much about God, heard Goliath talking about God. Now, we're going to put it in this sense. David really turns to his brothers and says, wait a minute, what's y'all problem? You going to make him talk about our daddy that way? And they're sitting there saying, oh, come on, man, go back to feeding the sheep. He said, maybe you don't understand something, but I've practiced so much, y'all not hearing me, huh? That when I was counting 91, 92, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 96, 97, 98, 99, I'm missing one. David stops. Come on, talk about Jesus, right? David stops and David says, hold on, under shepherd, come take care of this, pastor. Y'all missed it again. All right, let me go out there and find that one that's missing. The Bible says that he saw the sheep in his mouth. And David goes up to the bear and slaps the bear in the face. It's in the Bible, y'all. For those of y'all who was like, what? You're not reading your Bible. So he grabs him and he pulls him by his beard. Come on, listen to me. Pulls him by his beard and take back that sheep and bring that sheep back. This is the reason why anybody that leaves the church or leave God and come back home, God throws a party in the kingdom. Not only that, but he's armed. Come on, I'm gonna go to the end on this. He's armed. So even if he slaps the bear and the bear get aggressive, he's already practiced. You're not hearing me. He's already practiced, right? He's done it already. He knows how to handle this. He knows exactly how to handle this thing. So he goes out and he says, okay, so what's going to happen if I beat Goliath? Well, I'm going to give you my daughter, Saul says. Look at the boys. The boys are like, what? That's all I heard from the front row. Ooh. Pastor, let me get one of those. All right? No, sir, that's how we look. Look. Not only that, but you will never have to pay taxes again. April 15th is gone. Look at all you cheaters, tax cheaters. Look at everybody, they got the tax cheaters. What? All right? He says, okay, let me go talk to Saul. Now, this is one of the things that's very important. Come on. Saul now says to him, if you want to go ahead and do it, go ahead and do it, but I have something for you. Listen to me. Just these two rows. Listen to me. I have something for you. Why don't you put on my armor? The Bible says that he puts it on. Don't let anybody fool you. The Bible says he puts it on. So that means when David puts on Saul's armor, he has to go on and practice with it. He goes out and puts on Saul's armor, and he takes out his slingshot and recognizes that every time he twirls, it gets caught up in his armor. He comes back to Saul, and he says, O king, with all due respect to you, I can't wear your armor. Because I have not proved it. So leave me with my slingshot, because I proved this. Are you with me? All right, so he goes out. You guys know the rest of the story, but I'm going to make it really, really soap opera-ish. So he comes out now, and he walks out, and he says, I'll be right back. He says, God, I'm not going to embarrass you. You see, because no matter how you look at it, J&A will always be on your heart. You don't understand. You're going to be thinking about J&A all the way through until you're grown. It will never go away. All the good and the bad experiences will never go away. Matter of fact, let's be honest with you. I'm telling you, the times when you thought God was against you, let me tell you, you know that footprint story? It's not true. He wasn't carrying you. He was way ahead of you preparing the way. So when David went out, he said, God, I will never want to embarrass you. J&A will always be on my heart. But we got a couple of giants that's ahead of us, like high school. We got giants that's ahead of us, like, you know what? I'm not even going to talk to you guys about drugs and alcohol, because you know what? You're not going to do it. You got to be more careful with peer pressure and people who think you're their friends and they're not your friends. And you got to be more worried about other things like lying to your parents and lying to yourself. I'm just sorry. I'm tired of talking about young people and what they wear and what. I'm tired of that. That's a total mess right now. What I want you to understand is that the only thing that can change you and make you stronger from here to the end is Christ in your heart. That's it. Nothing else. Because high school teachers have bad days. And you're going to have to be able to stand like the brave. So he's walking down the street. He stops at a brook. Anwar, I need you here. He passes by a brook. And when he gets to the brook, he picks up 5 smooth stones. You see, I'm from the city. I don't know anything about skipping rocks. But those of you who know about skipping rocks, you can't just choose any rock to skip. Come on, country people. You know, people only look at the country people. I'm from the South. I don't want nobody to know I'm from the South. You know what I'm talking about. You have to pick the right rock in order to get, and you have to even toss it right in order for it to. Look at all the city people. Like, I have no clue of what he's talking about. All right? He picks up 5 smooth stones. I need you. He picks up 5 smooth stones. And when he picks up these 5 smooth stones, come on, hear me out now. And I'm going to give it away now. You've heard it before. He picked up 5 smooth stones because in 1 Kings it tells you that Goliath had 4 more relatives. In Kings, he had 4 more relatives. So he picked up 1 for Goliath. Y'all not hearing me? And he picked up 4 because when you hit Junior, Ray Ray come in? Come on now. You know it's true. Come on, we've seen a lot of YouTube videos already. You hit one, you're going to have to hit the rest of them. But here's the funny thing about it, graduates, that he didn't get six. He didn't get seven. In his mindset, he's practiced so much that he's not even thinking about missing. Listen to me, young people. When we used to watch this guy named, Mike Tyson? We didn't watch it boxing to see if they're going to get to the second round when he fought. He's a wild animal. When the bell rang, most boxers come out in style. They tap gloves, and then go back out. Mike Tyson? Ding! Check out any of his fights. We're trying to figure out 1 minute or 2 minutes in the round. Now look at all the people. They remember Muhammad Ali. Smooth. He talk a whole lot of junk the night before. So-and-so in heaven, I'm going to knock him out in the seventh. And everybody starts to watch to see what he's going to do. And in the seventh round, he finds some strength from somewhere. He looks tired. Matter of fact, he's probably lost the last three, getting hit in the head all the time, but he knew that he's going to tire out his opponent. The difference with all the other boxers is that while they were sleeping, come on, right? I know that we're in the season now of basketball. You're too young for this. I know everybody's talking about your boy on the Cavs and Stephen, whatever his name is. I don't watch it. You laugh all you want, but I can tell you this. 2 seconds on the clock, down by two, down by one, and Michael Jordan is on the court. I almost fell thinking about it. They hand him the ball. Come on, y'all not hearing me? Because while all his teammates are out drinking and carrying on the night, he's in his gym, taking 5,000 shots per day. So when they're down, they're going to give it to the person who's going to score. Check out some of the pictures. Even the opponents knew that they were going to give it to him. Sometimes you see four people over him, and he's like, you ready? You know Michael Jordan's face. And then, to add insult to injury, he'll pass by the bench. Now imagine if we were sure on our spirituality like that. So when he saw Goliath, he used psychology on him. Oh, you're gonna come to me with helmets on, right? I don't got nothing. Look at me. Read the chapter carefully. Your Goliaths have problems. Look at me here. Your Goliath has problems. See, Goliath had a pituitary gland problem. Like our Andre the Giant, for those of us who remember Andre the Giant, he was big. But Andre the Giant was slow. David was small, but he was fast. When you have that gland problem, something happens to your vision. Which is the reason why when they read the text, it said that he had to be led down by someone. Yeah, you just missed it. Your Goliath got problems. Somebody had to lead Goliath down because he couldn't see. He could only see straight on, but he couldn't see his peripherals. Don't you think David knew that? So David comes in now, and remember the first thing he says, who am I? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks in your hand? David is like, I ain't got no sticks. That's what the Bible says. He's blind. So Goliath talks his mess. David run around him, 5 minutes, run around him. Goliath is pivoting him as he's running around. He gets frustrated. He grabs his helmet and he says, just keep still. Goliath says, hey, I've practiced that 400 yards. I've practiced that 300 yards. I've practiced that 200 yards. Y'all not with me. I've practiced that 100 yards. This fool is only 30 yards away from me. That's what happens when you reach algebra, the real one, and trig. No. That's what happens when you get to your first history class and your teacher tells you 5 chapters by tomorrow. You sit back and you say, don't worry about it, I got this. You know why? Because I practice. I got this. So you get to that time when you hit that thing in the head, bang, and he drops and he hits the ground. You sit there and you say, I told you so. I said I wasn't going to say anything about this, and I know people have a problem with it. It's time for us to be progressive, Adventists. I'm talking to you. It's time for us to do some crazy stuff that don't make sense. It just don't make sense. It's time for us to stop buying buildings and start investing in our children. Oh, I know you're mad now, but that's all right. It's time to tithe and start paying the teachers the same way you pay pastors. I'm not looking for amen. I know God has already showed me. It's time for us to be serious about them. You know why? Because that kid over there that's going to be a pastor, one day that kid, if Jesus don't come, is going to stand by my nursing home bed because my wife's not going to take care of me. You know what I mean? Nope. And that kid is going to say, you know what? I understood the mission of what you talked about. We have to learn. Old heads, I'm old, to pass the baton. If I'm in this thing at 80 years old, we're basically saying we don't trust your practicing skills. We don't trust your style. I end to say this way. No jail. No lawyers. No babies. No dating. Yeah, I said it. Ladies, the answer is no until the second year of college. Parents, I need you. I need you, parents. Can we pray for our graduates? Come on, what we got to do? It's not just them, you know. We got to practice too. Come on. It's just what, everybody? Just practice. It's just what, everybody? Come on, it's for us too. It's just practice. Come on, I want to pray for you. Graduates, stand. Just the graduates. God, I want to thank you so much for the graduates. And I ask you, God, that every day you may instill within them the push to practice. Not just for their schoolwork, but to practice every single day until you come and say, well done, a good and faithful servant. Well done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.